one-time tough enough contestant. For a couple of years, he was a very promising young wrestler in World Wrestling Entertainment, a guy who really was carving out a nice heel character for himself, one that I think really could have drawn some money had he not suffered post-concussion syndrome, which basically cut that short and led him down his present career path, where he is an activist at this point in time, raising awareness on concussion issues and out there just really beating the drum, so to speak, and trying to press these matters here and get the proper attention and care for those who have suffered from injuries, not merely in pro wrestling, but also in other professional sports. He's done a lot on football. Certainly, concussions have been very much in the forefront in the hockey world in the course of the last year or so here. And I'll also mention this in my introduction to him here, basically because a friend of mine dared me to be this cheesy, and we're all about that on this show here. I will say at the outset, I feel like I can really relate to this gentleman. He went to Harvard, and I went to Ohio University, which is known as the Harvard on the Hocking. So I am especially pleased to welcome in to the FDH Lounge, Christopher Nowinski. Christopher, welcome to the program tonight, sir.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on. It's very interesting. I see from your bio on your site here, ChrisNowinski.com, which kind of reminded me of some of the particulars of your career, that you were I'm looking at this here, yes, you were the youngest male hardcore champion in WWE history, and now you're crusading on these concussion issues. When we think of what the hardcore style entails here, I mean, that's quite a coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's an interesting aspect to my career. It's not that I didn't do a lot of hardcore matches, though. I did do a handful, but to think that that's, you know, part of the reason why there's such a concussion issue in the business, although it's not totally the real issue. But I think it's most amusing that I didn't even know I was the youngest hardcore champion until I think somebody posted it on their Wikipedia page years later.
Yeah, well, it's gotten incorporated into your own page here. And, you know, you certainly... It was an interesting career that you had there. Of course, you started from the Tough Enough experience, and then qualifying subsequently for the WWE contract. What I find very interesting, what I want to ask you about, you've had some interaction over the course of the last couple of years with Michael Benoit, as he has sought to investigate the circumstances of his son's head condition, I guess we would say, just to kind of leave it open-ended as far as how that is medically classified here with Chris Benoit. And you've been out front on that issue as well. You've collaborated with Michael Benoit and publicizing some of the information vis-a-vis Chris's head condition that he had. I'm wondering, again, how closely at the time, I think you guys were on different brands probably most of the time that you were with the company here, but you know, what were your recollections of Chris Benoit to the extent that your paths crossed back in the day, and how does that kind of affect the way that you look at things now?
Well, I spent a decent amount of time with Chris. In fact, when I first went down to Heartland Wrestling as part of the developmental program, he was recovering from his neck surgery and was there and actually spent some time with me. I remember he was the guy who taught me how to throw a decent forearm to the head on him. So, you know, he was a really, you know, he was just a really well-respected guy, and I always had positive experiences with him. But towards the end of his life, he did take a real interest. I was already retired and writing my book, and he took a real interest in the head injury research that I was doing, which makes me realize now that he knew something was wrong with him, and he was trying to figure it out. But after the tragic weekend, I did call Mike Benoit and asked him if Chris's brain could be studied, because I suspected that it was caused by brain trauma, his behaviors. And he did have the disease chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It's not an open-ended question as to what he had. It's a you know, increasingly well-understood disease caused by trauma that causes a degenerative condition, a progressive degenerative condition that, you know, is well known in boxers, better known in football, but also is found in professional wrestlers, anyone that takes too many hits to the head. And so It's important that we understand that so we can prevent it from happening again.
Absolutely. And the book that you referenced, of course, Head Games, Football's Concussion Crisis, and that was – so that, that How did that affect? You said that you were in the process of putting that together at the time. Did that lead you in any different directions as you made that discovery at the time, or how did it affect the end product?
The book was published 6 months ahead. Tragedy.
Okay. Was there a forward? I'm sorry, an update in a paperback edition subsequently?
No.
Okay. Okay. You certainly are, with your media appearances, with your website, certainly, again, you're continuing to be out there. You're still a very young guy. You've got a lot ahead of you still here. What ideas do you have on the drawing board for subsequent projects of a similar manner?
Well, we've got a research center at Boston University School of Medicine called the Center for the Study of Traumatic Encephalopathy. We have a brain bank, and we have a clinical registry of 250 athletes, former athletes, are going to donate their brains when they die. And so we're in the process of studying them. We try to understand a way to actually diagnose this disease in living people, trying to find a way to prevent it, trying to find a way to treat it and cure it in athletes, because we know it exists in a heck of a lot more athletes than we think. 12 of 12 college and pro football players have been diagnosed with the disease that we've studied. So it's quite an urgent problem. So we're doing the research side, and on the other side, we're really trying to incorporate that research into prevention and education strategies for kids. So we do our own educational programs. We head out and meet with schools and coaches and basically give them a culture change. So this is what we know now. This is how you should change the way you play so that your kids don't get this. And we're also working with the CDC and the Brain Injury Association and a whole number of groups. And now in the NFL Players Association's Concussion Research Committee. So it's we're really trying to prevent this from happening in kids, and we have a lot of different ways we can do it.
Well, it's very good work, and again, if you're reaching the kids, then you at least know that at a bare minimum, 10, 15 years down the road, those that have had this sort of culture of how they've been acclimated, things will be a little bit different there. But in the more short term, one of the things I've been looking at is in the sport of hockey. There's been a little bit of controversy in the last year or so with some of the concussions that have happened there, and specifically now this issue of the players union. This is kind of a sore spot with me. The players union is asking the league to outlaw shots to the head altogether, and the league seems to be caught in this old guard macho Canadian kind of frame of mind here. Well, we already outlaw elbow shots to the head, and hockey won't be hockey if we do that, which is ridiculous. They're not looking to take away body checks or anything like that, merely head shots. What have been some of your thoughts on this matter and the way that it sort of exemplifies, the hockey culture in Canada kind of being obstructionist in the way of what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, I think it's the same thing that happened with the National Football League. The National Football League didn't buy into this research and didn't make a whole lot of changes until the last year. And I think we'll have that same thing happen with the NHL. There is that culture of not really understanding the problem, so therefore not wanting to address it. We identified our first case of CTE, like Benoit had, in a hockey player, Reggie Fleming, and took that public in December, and that got a lot of people's attention, the fact that playing hockey, you can get this disease, and again, it can destroy your life. And so that's going to be incorporated into the March meetings, where I would be very surprised if they did not ban hits to the head. And if they don't, frankly, we'll be far more aggressive in our tactics, but I think it's going to happen. The evidence in the brain, and again, you're absolutely right, banning elbows to the head does not change the game of hockey. It just makes it so we don't all kill each other.
Yeah, they're not looking to get rid of body shots because, again, that's we see in the All-Star game what happens when there's no head or body shots. It's 12-10 typically, but again, taking away the head shots, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's not going to change the fabric of the game. But you are optimistic the change may be coming in the relatively near term?
I can guarantee it. If they don't want to, if we could change the NFL's mind, I guarantee we can change hockey's mind. It just depends on how much time I spend looking into it.
In terms of the NFL, I'm glad you referenced that, because I'm wondering what you think have been some of the major factors to really kind of turn this around. Obviously, we can point to the work that your association is doing on this, but I mean, I think back over a period of time here. I think back to the late 90s, two of the greats of all time, Troy Aikman and Steve Young both cut short by head injuries. Could have kept going, you know, much longer than that. One would have thought that if there was going to be anything that would have woken up that the NFL, it would have happened at least by then, at least about 10 years or so ago now. In terms of them coming around on this, and I see the same things that you do as far as the NFL waking up to the problem, aside from the work you guys are doing, what do you think have been some of the more persuasive things to really kind of grab a hold of the NFL and say, we got something we got to do something about here?
Well, you know, that was discussed extensively last night. HBO Real did a 30-minute piece on our work and our role in this changing the culture in the NFL. And what everyone kind of determined was it was increasing research. It was a kind of a changeover within the NFL a little bit in terms of their leadership and the aware, you know, people there wanted to change things. And it was the congressional hearings that played a big role. Congress held a hearing in October, and again in January, I testified at both, along with three other members of the sports legacy team, two doctors and a widow, a wife of someone with dementia. And, you know, they'd be put on the public stage like that, you know, Roger Goodell being accused of being big tobacco. As we've been saying for a while, it was good to have that on a public stage, and I think they finally had enough and realized that it was safer and more advantageous for them to change the culture and let the game live on than people say they're killing kids.
Yeah, because the knowledge has kind of gotten out there, thanks to what you guys are doing, thanks to the way that you guys have been able to distill this. Of course, people can find information on this, chrisnowinski.com. You can find that there, information on your book as well, Head Games, Football's Concussion Crisis. I know you've got to go, Chris. We appreciate your time tonight. Anything else you'd like to mention in closing?
Just take care of your head. There's a new culture coming forward. Stay in touch with it on sportslegacy.org, and we'll keep raising the standards so that we can all keep playing sports without ending up with brain damage.
Oh, great work, Chris. We've linked to your website here tonight on our rundown. We appreciate having you on. We'd love to have you back sometime.
All right, real pleasure.